The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Kiplinger.com, Money.com, and also continuing with our reading from Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. Our first article from Kiplinger.com, What is Digital Home Management and Why is it Important? Digital home management is bringing together all the financial and physical data about your home to help you make better decisions. When people hear the phrase home management, the focus tends to be on maintenance, remodeling, or other things they either do themselves or hire a contractor to do for them. But the home is your largest asset and biggest expense, which means digital home management becomes paramount to personal financial management. Digital home management is creating, aggregating, and analyzing digital information about all the different elements that make up your physical home. It includes all the photos, videos, documents, receipts, data, and reports about everything in your home. Once you consolidate all your digital information, it becomes much easier to manage this asset and its expenses, and ultimately save money and improve the value of your home. Here are four areas of digital home management that are important for homeowners. Number one. Home finances. Your home has a constantly fluctuating estimated market value, mortgage balance, and home equity. In addition, your home has regular annual expenses such as mortgage payments, property taxes, insurance, utilities, and more. Tracking all of this information digitally is important and included in the five key financial aspects to managing your home. Number two, home inventory. Your home and its contents need to be protected with a home insurance policy. Every insurance company recommends that you have a home inventory. The easiest way to create this is a video of every room inside the home and areas outside your home. Individual digital photos provide greater accuracy of personal property and the fixed assets of the home. The value of a digital home inventory is sharing it with your insurance company to make sure you're properly insured, as most homeowners are underinsured. If a house fire or natural disaster destroys the home, a home inventory helps make sure you get properly reimbursed. Many estate planning attorneys also recommend a home inventory for the distribution of your personal property at end of life. Number three, home maintenance schedule. When you buy a home, it never comes with a digital recurring maintenance schedule of tasks to do. Homeowners have to figure this out on their own, which is a bigger challenge for first-time home buyers. Not performing preventive maintenance has significant financial risk. Building materials and equipment wear out sooner than expected, which means increased and unexpected repair costs. The home operates less efficiently, which means energy and utility costs are higher than necessary. In addition, poorly maintained homes lose more of their value, which decreases the price when you decide to sell. The key action is to build a digital preventive maintenance schedule for your home. This provides reminders to perform many of these simple tasks to keep operating costs low and maintain or increase the value of the home. Number four, home remodel projects. Homeowners need to have a detailed plan and budget that meets the design goals with the financial strategy on how to pay for the renovations. Without this, homeowners end up over budget, have a remodel they don't like, and have a contentious relationship with a contractor. First, itemize all the different home improvement projects you want. Then, for each project, itemize all the materials, equipment, appliances, and fixtures required. Most important is to do brand and product research for each item to determine different price ranges. Analyze the products you like versus what you can afford, and consider whether you are paying with cash, credit, or even a home equity loan. Keeping track of cost, receipts, documents, warranties, digital photos, and more of your remodel is important for two reasons. First, the tax basis, which includes the home purchase price plus all your remodel investments, is needed when you file your taxes when you sell the home. The second is to update the dwelling coverage with your insurance company. Update your inventory and maintenance schedule to maintain the new building materials, and use this digital project history as part of your marketing strategy when you decide to sell your home. Going digital. Most homeowners' data about their home is in paper format. The first step is to transform paper information into digital PDF formats with a scanner or AI tool. You can then choose one of the following three approaches to a digital home management strategy. Generic apps: spreadsheets, online cloud storage, calendar apps, browser bookmarks, digital photos and videos, and scans of paper documents can all be used to get the data about your home in a digital format. Corporate apps: banks, insurance companies, and real estate brokers each may offer a subset of specific apps for homeowners to manage their digital data. And lastly, digital home management apps. These are new personal finance apps specific to managing various aspects of the home. Some of these apps focus on specific areas such as inventory and maintenance, while others have a broader view of all aspects of managing the data about the home. The key takeaway is to realize that digital home management is really bringing together all the financial and physical data about your home and organizing it in a way to help you make better decisions. Choose whichever approach is best for your preferences to become a more organized homeowner. And from Money.com, these are the four best money moves for October 2023. This spooky season, there's more to fear than just ghouls and goblins. Consumer debt is mounting, the stock market is hitting its most volatile month, and holiday expenses are just around the bend. These may be valid reasons to feel a little scared, which is why we compiled our best advice to help you make the most of your money this month. Whether you're a Social Security recipient biting your nails over your 2024 benefits, a borrower being haunted by debt, or an investor getting chills about your portfolio's October performance, we have tips to ward off any financial demons. Number one, look out for the Social Security COLA announcement. It's almost COLA time, and no, we're not talking about the kind you drink. Every year, the roughly 70 million recipients of Social Security receive a crucial cost of living adjustment to bring their benefits up to speed with inflation. Last year, beneficiaries saw an 8.7% increase, the highest COLA in decades, thanks to soaring inflation from 2021 to 2022. Although prices have cooled significantly since then, the 2024 COLA is expected to be above average again, with the final numbers announced on October the 12th. The projected increase is 3.2%, which would raise the average monthly benefits payment of about $1,700 by $58 a month, according to advocacy group the Senior Citizens League. Beneficiaries will see the COLA reflected in their monthly payments starting in January for retirees and December 30th for SSI recipients. If you're curious about COLA history or want some more in-depth information about how it's calculated, Money has a handy explainer with everything you could want to know. Number two, check your credit report. Once upon a time before the pandemic, you could only get a free credit report from the three major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, once a year per bureau. These bureaus changed that policy in April of 2020, giving Americans free weekly online access to the reports as the global public health crisis spurred unemployment and delinquent payments. Though the policy was supposed to be temporary, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion announced last month that they're making it permanent to help consumers get a better handle on their credit. The move is timely considering U.S. household debt keeps breaking records. It surged to more than $17 trillion in the second quarter of the year, with rising credit card and auto loan balances driving it up about 1%, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Credit card debt is sitting at a record $1 trillion. And thanks to the central bank's interest rate hikes, the average annual percentage rate, or APR, on credit cards is above 20%. This year, the return of monthly student loan payments is adding onto the debt dog pile for many Americans. If you're one of them, take advantage of the free weekly credit report policy. Even if it hurts to look, you'll be able to see your payment history, credit limits, balances, and personal information like your work history and credit inquiries. It's important to keep an eye on your credit report to see if it contains any errors, which could mean inaccurate reporting or that someone has stolen your personal information. On the whole, knowing your credit standing can help you understand your financial situation better and reinforce positive financial habits. Number three, don't get the willies over stock market volatility. Traditionally, October is investors' least favorite time of the year. That's because since World War II, the S&P 500's average volatility has been 35% higher than average during this month than the rest of the year, CFRA Research Chief Investment Strategist Sam Stovall previously told Money. The phenomenon is known as the October effect, and investors have come to expect stocks to take a downturn during this period. The biggest stock market crashes in history, the one that preceded the Great Recession in 1929 and 1987's Black Monday, occurred in October. So it's not hard to understand why the month puts Wall Street on edge. The volatility is often a dirty word that makes many investors uneasy. Experts say that stocks this month actually tend to perform better than one might expect. According to Terry Sandvin, chief equity strategist at U.S. Bank Wealth Management, October sees an average S&P 500 return of 1.4% higher than the average return compared to almost every other month of the year. And this year in particular, stock market performance in August and September indicates that October may be a month of positive volatility based on historical patterns. So don't make any rash decisions or try to predict the future. Your best bet is to keep focused on your long-term goals and maintain a portfolio with a mix of investments to help you achieve them. Number four, start saving for the holidays now and give what you can afford. As we mentioned, the end of 2023 is shaping up to be a financially tight time for many Americans, thanks to mounting debt and an inflation rate that's currently still above the Fed's 2% goal. But the holidays aren't going anywhere, and neither is the expectation of gift-giving that comes with them. While we can't promise you'll be able to buy everyone on your list the high-ticket items they want this year, you can make gift buying a little easier for yourself by planning now. First, set a strict budget that accounts for everyone who will get a gift and what you can afford to avoid overspending or jacking up your credit card balance. In an ideal world, we may want to give a gift to everyone from immediate family members to neighbors, but that's not always possible, so narrow your list down to the people who are most important to you. Depending on your budget, start setting aside some money every week, even if it's just $10. If things are really challenging for you and your family this year, consider a gift exchange or a spending limit to make things more manageable. And don't forget there are always organizations that can help qualifying families with gifts for children like United Way, Toys for Tots, and Salvation Army. Our next article from Kiplinger.com, when renting is smarter than buying. There are some situations when renting is smarter than buying. You're not necessarily throwing your money away when you rent. I moved to Washington, D.C. in 2010, and I was perfectly happy as a renter. Neither of my apartments were luxurious, but in an expensive city with limited housing, I paid below market rate for my first place. My roommate and I had our own bedrooms, thanks to a makeshift wall. Later, when I wanted to live alone, I landed an underpriced studio in a rent-controlled building. But as more friends purchased shiny condos or casually speculated about future plans to buy, I wondered whether buying was something I should consider. The nagging feeling that buying is something you should do is one big reason that millennials choose to buy, said Bill Nelson, a certified financial planner and founder of Pacesetter Planning near Boston. We've also been told that buying is an investment and renting is, quote, just throwing money away. Adding up the cost, many experts recommend buying only if you expect to park yourself there for at least 5 to 7 years. What if you like your city and current situation, but also have no idea where life will take you in the next 5 to 7 years? Sometimes the most you can say is, I plan to stay in the same spot, knowing everything about my circumstances, career, and family today, said Jeff Tucker, an economist at home price site Zillow.com. The costs are ever-changing and usually rising, which can put buying a home out of reach for many potential homeowners. A 30-year fixed-rate mortgage loan has a 7.2% interest rate as of September of 2023. And according to Kiplinger's Economic Outlook, there's no downward trend coming in the near future. Not only is the interest rate rising, but so are home costs. The median price of a home in the first quarter of 2023 was $416,100, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. That's more than $100,000 higher than the median price of a home, which was $329,000, prior to COVID in January of 2020. An online rent or buy calculator, such as those from SmartAsset.com or Zillow, can run some quick calculations after you enter your location, rent, target home price, size of down payment, and other factors. Don't underestimate other costs associated with buying a home. Closing costs, including the appraisal fee and loan origination fee, typically cost 2% to 5% of the purchase price of the home. Increases in ongoing expenses, such as property taxes, can blindside new homeowners, says Nelson. Eric Simonson, a CFP and owner of Abundo Wealth in Minneapolis, advises clients to plan on spending 1% of the home's value each year for maintenance and upkeep. Finally, if you put less than 20% down, you'll need to sink even more money into private mortgage insurance. When Simonson speaks with clients who want to buy a home, he asks them how much they pay in rent and pulls up several properties where they would pay the equivalent after factoring in monthly mortgage payments, taxes, insurance, and upkeep. More often than not, they find they aren't getting such a bad deal renting, especially if they live in areas where the cost to purchase is very high, he says. In some locations, renting can be cheaper than buying, depending on the size of your down payment and the length of time you stay in the home. Zillow found that renting beats buying in San Jose, San Francisco, Honolulu, Oakland, Seattle, Salt Lake City, and Anaheim, assuming you put down 10% and stay in the home for 5 years. Even if buying comes out ahead, renting allows you the flexibility to make big life changes and affords you the time to save up for a down payment and the cash needed to cover upfront and regular expenses. Renters could on average accumulate more wealth than homeowners if they invested the equivalent of a down payment plus the difference between a monthly mortgage payment and rent in a diversified portfolio, according to Eli Viracha, co-author of a study on home ownership in the Journal of Housing Research. Most renters don't do this, and for most people, buying is a better financial choice in the long run. But don't rush. I've never met with someone and said, "The problem with your finances is that you bought a home way too late," says Nelson. But I've seen plenty of people who have messed up their financial situation by buying a home too early. Our next article from Money.com. Here are the 5 most popular investments. It's an uneasy time to be an investor. The Federal Reserve said earlier this month that it would pause interest rate hikes for the second time since March of 2022. While one more hike in 2023 is in the cards, the pause brings hope that long, sticky inflation might be on its way out of the picture, which bodes well for the stock market and investing in general. In the meantime, everyday Americans are still feeling a squeeze on their finances, and it's influencing their feelings about the economy and their investing behavior. The most popular investments in 2023. Personal finance company SoFi released a report recently that takes stock of investor behavior and attitudes after the first half of 2023. The company surveyed roughly 3,500 Americans and found that 2/3 of investors think the country is currently in a recession. A majority say they're lagging in achieving their investing goals, too. However, despite this arguably bleak situation, 3/4 remain bullish on the market outlook. Here are the top 5 places investors have put their money through the first half of the year, along with the percentage of SoFi poll respondents who said they've invested in each category. Stocks, 53.7%. Cryptocurrency, 44.1%. Mutual funds, 38.2%. Bonds, 26.6%. And exchange-traded funds, or ETFs, 21.1%. Interestingly, crypto and ETFs, while 2 of the most popular investments, are also the 2 areas where investors feel they lack the most knowledge. Almost 1/3 of respondents said that they don't know enough about crypto nor ETFs to invest in them. Index funds and real estate also fall into this gap, with about one quarter of respondents saying they don't know enough to invest in either. What different generations of investors worry about? Over 56% of investors said they feel they haven't invested enough at this point in their lives. The group most concerned with falling behind is Gen X, or people ages 43 to 58. Nearly two-thirds of this generation, or 64%, say they haven't invested enough. Boomers are the only generation that feels more confident than not in how much they've invested, with just under 43% of the 59 to 77-year-old group that they're concerned that they haven't done enough. The biggest fears that investors have tend to be in the realm of not doing enough rather than doing too much. About 30% worry about being too conservative, and 38% worry about not investing enough, whereas only 14% fret about being too aggressive. And as we wrap up our episode today, we will continue our readings from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan, and we will move to Money Hack number 39. Start a new hobby. It's hard to waste money when you're too busy to do it. A full financial reevaluation is a great chance to pick up a new hobby, or maybe even an old hobby that's fallen by the wayside. The key is to choose a hobby that's not too expensive. If it requires costly equipment you don't already have, it's not a good fit. If it requires a lot of travel or upfront costs to participate, like some recreational sports league, it's not a good fit. Free or affordable hobbies to consider include board games, jigsaw or crossword puzzles, sketching, baking, journaling, learning a new language, hiking or running, and yoga at home. If you already have sporting or outdoor equipment, dust it off and hit the trail or court. Whether you pick up a hobby that's solitary or communal, you might find it's a good excuse to connect with friends, whether it's to discuss your latest activities or swap supplies. For an extra challenge, track what you spend on your hobby and see how close to free you can keep it. For instance, if the nearest art museum doesn't charge admission on Tuesday evenings, round up your fellow art lovers and visit then. Well, we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.